The best part about doing this podcast is that I can just roll in whenever I feel like, not read the schedule, and then I know that Jordan will pick up the slack.
He's like our parent.
What? I'm a parrot.
Yeah, you're a parrot. Oh. That's what he said. He said you were a parrot.
I'm a parrot. I'm a parrot.
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 Captain, you're getting sidetracked. Make it happen.
You're getting sidetracked.
Oh, God.
I will burn this podcast now.
Yep.
I will burn this podcast now.
Well, good. Then that saves me the trouble.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Game Podunk Cast. I'm your host, Jordan Haygood, and here is Korn.
Hi, I exist.
Yes, I guess so. Beryl, do you exist?
Occasionally.
Occasionally?
Yep.
What occasion?
Don't be concerned. Go to Marshall.
He doesn't want to spill his secrets.
Exactly.
How about you, Marshall? You exist?
Yep. Yep.
Without your beard?
I'm not a solipsist, so yes, I do believe that I exist.
You're a believer.
Yes, I'm a believer.
In yourself.
Do you believe as much as Anne Frank?
Okay.
Topical. Topical. Yeah.
What?
That was your topical joke from the 1940s?
Yeah.
No one knows that news then. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, probably.
News, I knew it once, but
yeah.
when I read a history book.
All right.
But that's the opposite of news. That's olds. You're talking about
yes.
Corn.
Yeah, I know that olds.
Fine.
Yes, we'll leave it there. Something about Anne Frank. Yep. So, back on topic. What video games are we playing today? Or, not today. Today, yesterday, the day before, whatever. What are your currently played games?
Minecraft. Last week I talked about Bioshock Infinite, and apparently Kick thinks I don't like it.
I noticed good that. Things.
I like it, alright?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you recommended it.
Yeah. I think it was the part where he said it's not a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because
if it's not a 10, it's not worth it.
Yep, that's what Kiki's mind said is.
A few games are. Game had flaws.
The big problem, of course, is that I talked about gameplay, which isn't the game's
strongest point.
Suit.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you on that. Like, it feels kind of dated a little bit.
You're playing it for the story, and you can't really talk about the story. That, you know, spoiling it.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I enjoyed the story, so you should play it. Anyway, yeah, I played Minecraft.
Minecraft? What happened in Minecraft?
I punched a missile.
Okay.
Is the story
totally
good?
Punched.
Was the story good on that one?
That's kind of.
It's a game.
We were yes. The story, not so much. So we were setting up, like, anti-missile stuff. Because we don't know too much about vaults. We started a creative server just to mess around. So we'd be armed with knowledge for our eventual nuclear war. So we spied off a missile to see if the radar would detect it and launch an anti-ballistic missile. And it didn't work. So using my lightning-fast wit, I punched the missile. And saved everyone.
Did you die?
No, I was in creative, but it does cause the missile to explode, surprisingly enough. So it wouldn't work in survival.
That's all very interesting, but have you played anything else?
Oh,
no, I'm watching TV, as everyone who knows behind the scenes will know. It's G3.
Okay. Sure, everyone knows behind your scenes.
Yeah. Corn, nobody's in the field.
Okay. Adventure Time's dope, yo. Anyway,
yes,
other people.
It is. Okay. Yes, I agree. Who else has been playing those video game things?
I know Marshall's been playing a game.
Have I?
What probably
game
right now.
I know.
What game am I currently playing, bro?
MMO?
Do tell.
Might be,
That's Phantasy Star 2.
You like it?
That's what I was gonna say.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I want it to come here so that I can understand. There is an English patch for the game, a fan made English patch, so it changes the menus and stuff, so you can see what's going on. But for anything that's story related, or for most things.
There's a decent amount of story stuff that, like, changes, right?
Yes.
And, of course, you have no idea what it is, because, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, it's all in Japanese. There are some story things that are translated, but it's usually, like, you know, alert, something is happening, so that you know what you're supposed to do, you know, in a given situation. But for the most part, no, it's all in Japanese. I don't really know what's going on.
Why don't you just learn Japanese, then? It's that simple.
Yep, Nihongo Kawakama-san.
But, what was it? I saw Toby make a Twitter post saying, you guys played for 8 hours. That's not a problem.
That happened.
Okay. That was pretty good. 10 out of 10.
No, not a 10 out of 10, but insofar as RPGs, it's pretty good. It's designed more like a dungeon crawler, like the first Phantasy Star Online was, so... You know, if you're into that, if you're not necessarily super into, like, the Guild Wars, go explore the universe thing, then I'd say go for it. And the gameplay itself is really solid. So, 10 out of 10.
I do really want to play it, but I just, you know, I don't want to go through the hurdles playing on PC. And it's like, I wanted to bring on Vita, too.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if when they bring it over, don't take it on Vita. Because, you know, it's the same game, essentially, so...
Yeah,
I don't know that it'd be that hard to do, but then again, you know, that's extra work.
But you have to
translate it also,
onto the Vita.
Oh, not just that, it's like, to keep the patches up to date, which is, I think, would be the bigger problem for them.
Yeah.
But I would like to imagine they are considering it, maybe.
Yeah, and it's the same game for both, so if you got it on Vita, then I imagine, you know, that'd be pretty good insofar as addictive as MMOs are supposed to be. You'd be able to take it on the road, and especially with the 3G that the Vita has. That'd be good. Yeah, anyway, that. Also played Fire Emblem some, but not very much. So that's not really worth mentioning.
Okay. Well, you did talk about other weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And you're capping. All right, well, I pretty much only played one game this week. Well, actually, that's not true. I did play two. But I played...
That's... Basically one?
Yeah. Well, one I just, like, beat two levels. I was like, and you beat the campaign. You're like, congrats. I beat, like, Sound Shapes. Like I was chipping away at that game for a while, and I just randomly beat that game this week.
Yeah.
And that game is really polished. It's pretty, but I find it boring.
Yeah. To me, it always seemed like that's the ideal way to go through it, is just sort of chip away at it over time.
Is this a song reference that I'm not picking up on?
No, it's not. I was just saying that seems like the kind of game it is to me.
Yeah, I mean, you just listen to it. I mean, pop it onto the headphones, work at it. I mean, it's a well-made game. It really seems like kind of you either love it or you just kind of like, it's all right. It's made well.
Yeah, or you hate it. It's either you love it, you appreciate it, or you don't love it.
Yeah, but I also played... Well, the main thing I played this week was Tale of Meru. Or not Meru, freaking Aisha. What the hell is wrong with me?
You're just hoping it was...
I do like Meru a fair bit more. I mean, Aisha, it's a new game of Nintendo series. You craft a lot. People say there's comparisons to Rusted Tear on PC.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of true, kind of not, but it's similar kind of focus. Where you...
No. No, let me get your opinion on this, Daryl.
What?
You're saying a lot of people compare it to Reseteer on PC.
Yeah.
I always thought it was pronounced Reketeer, to go with the whole joke of Racketeer.
I'm pretty sure that's not the case. I'm pretty sure it's after the name of the characters, and you're forced to say them both at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, there's Reset and there's Tear.
Yeah.
But there's like that one part where she's like, well, let's name the shop after the both of us, Reseteer, which I always thought was, because it's not, you know, voice, that it was Racketeer, because Tear is like, are you sure that's the best name for it?
you know, whatever one you find more entertaining, Marshall.
Okay.
But that isn't the point. Anyway, played a lot of Aisha, and I even finished up the review. It's a good game, but I don't think it's as well made as the previous game, Eru. Like, as a game. I do think the new setting and characters are handled better, but the actual gameplay, I think it takes a step back in some areas. And if you want to read a wall of text, there'll be one soon enough.
All right.
And that's about it for me.
What about you, Cappy Caps?
Cappy Caps. Actually, I haven't played anything this week.
Gossin!
Damn it.
I'm sorry!
Darn.
No,
darn
it. He deserves that edit.
Woo! See, that's why I'm busy. It's all your fault.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I've been meaning to pick up some stuff I've been playing, but I just can't get around to it. I mean, I can now, because I'm not as busy anymore, but it happens. Life gets a hold of you. Life. I mean, obviously, I wasn't here last week, so you guys know I was busy.
Nope.
So you did.
What? Hmm? Oh, yeah. I did die, didn't I?
You didn't talk about Bioshock Infinite last week, if you want to talk about it or not.
Too late.
I don't really have anything to say about it. Point.
Okay.
So all the things that you wanted to say, and you can't take back what's been taken away?
Yeah.
Okay.
So musical.
Okay. Well, yes. Bioshock Infinite.
It's nice.
It's talked out. We officially don't care about that game anymore. No longer a 10 out of 10.
Oh, sucks.
Yep. First I play this
over
year.
Hype.
Am I the only person here who hasn't played it?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Get with the times, man.
Gotta play everything that's new, man.
Stop watching animes.
Oh,
don't
God,
play
I wish
stupid
I could.
Games like Star and Fire Emblem.
I wish I could stop watching animes forever. You guys have no idea.
You
love except for Akira no Hana. I'll watch that any day of the week.
I do want to continue watching. Anyway,
yeah.
We are going off topic.
Yes, let's
video
go.
Games.
Yes,
let's go on to a new topic then.
Yes,
how's that sound?
Segways.
Yeah, that's. Thanks for that.
Wait.
They wouldn't have known that we were segwaying if. Yeah,
before that.
Okay. What?
Barrel.
What?
You know what's really good, Naku no Hana?
The music? Is it
yes,
the music?
The music. The music is so good, Naku no Hana.
The rotoscoping? The
rotoscoping is also good, but the music is what I was talking about.
Yes.
Oh, the weird.
Then
like,
I have a question that's totally not scripted at all.
Sure.
How do you guys feel about music in video games?
Hate it.
Oh, okay.
All of it sucks. All right, next topic now.
Yep.
That's all right.
Was that the whole question?
Yes. Just read it.
Okay.
I made an outline
this
for you.
This thing needs order and
I like it. I like music.
Like, yeah, music's cool.
Well, when it's good.
Yeah, when it's good.
I don't like bad things.
I do. What's wrong with bad things?
We knew.
They're bad.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, what?
You're part of the problem. Stop liking bad things so that we'll only get good things.
Yep.
Make it profitable to make good things.
You need to listen to our last podcast.
I'm sure he's listened to our last podcast more than anyone else has, so.
Help me!
He needs to take it to heart, though. He didn't really absorb it.
Anyway,
music and video games.
So, yeah, music plays a really big part in a lot of areas. Like, you know, when you're, say, like in an RPG, that music is really important in that. You know, everyone knows Final Fantasy for, like, its music and how intense the battles are because of the music. And obviously, if you take away the music, it's just
kind of boring.
Get into it.
There's a lot of RPGs that are like this, like, man, this theme's pretty dope. And then you turned off the air, you think, you know, this game's alright.
Granted, if you like RPGs, chances are you've probably gone on some grinding sprees or you just turned off the music and watched TV or something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Otherwise you'll lose your sanity.
Yes.
But anything specific I mean, we obviously like it. It's obviously important.
Well, like, I don't know. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
It's important. It helps make the game a complete package.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, music is really emotional and can really help to make, to add to exactly what you're supposed to feel. Like if it's a sad scene, like, or a sad moment that you're playing, you know, a sad song can make you feel those emotions. But if there was nothing there, not so much, you know?
Yep.
Like, yeah, they die, but it's sort of sad, but add music and then you start feeling shivers and you're like,
well, music makes you cold.
Or if it's happy, it's like, oh, this is a happy song.
Granted, that's not necessary. There is, I know it's not a video game. It's a television program.
Here we go.
But,
how dare you?
But in season 5, I think, of Buffy,
oh God,
the Vampire Slayer, one of the important characters, in case you're one of the few people who has not watched that series all the way through, I'll keep it spoiler free. One of the characters in the show dies. And,
yeah.
And the entire episode after their death, or I guess during the consequences of their death, there's no music in it at all, and that, you know, that sort of adds a solemnity to it.
You like music, yes. Music is powerful as music.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes
really silent.
Yeah, like whenever this epic scene is happening and they're like, you know, the world's ending and it's just like silent and nothing's
that's
going
like
on. It's like, yeah.
That's super important for scary stuff.
Yeah.
Which you can't
scary stuff definitely.
Having little music works better in that kind of regard. Just having the sounds.
And like
being really
like Silent Hill has some creepy music, but it also has some creepy non music. Like just walk down a hallway and all you hear is just this loud breathing that just
nothing. You see something and then you don't hear anything. There's nothing happening. So it's the silence sort of builds the tension.
Why? I know there's a trope called nothing is scarier. And it's like, if nothing's there, you're like, well, what is it? What's going to happen? You know, it's silent. And then you're just expecting something that just like a loud noise or something to just pop out. And
that's the thing with a lot of those Silent Hill games, the way that they frame the beginning of the game. Is you're put in what's clearly a scary situation, and as a player, you know that something scary is going to happen.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, it'll take you, you know, 40 minutes before you actually run into anything, you know, any monsters or anything, and that's all building tension.
Yep.
Like that entire.
You're scared the whole time because, like, when is the first monster going to appear?
Yeah, you know it's going to be there, but it's not. It's not there. Where is it?
Yeah, they purposely play on your expectation, and I'm sure that's intentional audio design. And probably works with the gameplay, but
And the same thing applies in terms of just scary music. You know, Slender. From what I understand, I haven't actually played the game, but I have watched people play it, and you know, it starts out silent, and then as you collect pages, things get added to like a drum beat, like a bass drum or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just some
sick guitar riffs.
Well, do you need that? I mean,
and this was a horror game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
They just start breaking out that Rock the Chocobo song from Final Fantasy XIII.
That was horrifying, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fit the mood perfectly.
But I was gonna
Trondorf.
Say, what?
Trondorf.
Or Trondorf the German writer dude, he had a concept known as, and my German is not good, so if I pronounce it wrong, I don't care, concept known as Gesamtkunstwerk, which Wagner talked about a lot, which essentially was the idea of, like, the full, everything that you do, doing it extremely well, and one of the major tenets of that was stage plays and operas and stuff, but one of the major concepts, I didn't realize how pretentious this was until I started saying it.
Well, keep going.
Too late now.
Was you know, having strong sound design, having strong musical input, having, you know, not just the music, but anything, any sound that is heard from the audience, having that in just the right place. And, you know, with games being an entertaining or an entertainment media, it operates to the same principles.
Yes. Well, speaking of composers, what are your favorite video game composers? We know a lot, like Nobuo Uematsu and Koji Kondo, and well, there's Donkey Kong Country and Banjo-Kazooie composers, David Wise and Grant Kirkhope.
Sure.
And
you did it. You named all my favorite ones. Good job.
Oh.
What did I?
No.
Nah, you got more. Come on.
There are a lot of them. I mean,
there
honestly,
are. There's a whole freaking long Wikipedia page on that.
There's like, if you think about a lot of the more famous iconic games, probably one of the things that, you know, that you can most gather from those, the thing that most stands out to that, is a lot of the music. Like Mario, just the stage 1-1 theme is iconic.
Yeah.
So
I really like play 3 seconds of that and people will know what it's from.
Yeah, people will be like, oh yeah, I know that. Same with the Zelda theme. And
yeah. Just all Final Fantasy music. There's a lot that RPG fans at least would recognize.
Yeah, I mean, RPGs, or JRPGs at least, not exactly the most famous genre, but even still, most gamers, if you were to play, you know, a little bit of one of the battle themes, or
yeah, even the bass riff.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Or the victory theme. It always starts out the same.
Even if they didn't, like, even if they don't know the song, even if they don't know where it's from, they'll recognize the,
yeah,
the sound.
And it'll drive them crazy for weeks.
Yep.
And then they'll want to replay it, then realize that they didn't actually really want to replay it.
Yeah. They really just wanted to listen to the OST on YouTube, but
yep.
They ended up spending all that time playing Final Fantasy VII. Or more accurately, wasting all that time playing Final Fantasy VII when you could be playing the superior Final Fantasy IX.
Well, maybe it didn't come out yet.
Yeah. Back when, yeah, YouTube was also...
Yeah.
Never mind. Let's not even get into this. Anyway. But, like, how important do you think, like, music, or these composers... Like, what makes them stand out to you, like, in particular, like, the ones Jordan mentioned?
Good music?
Well, on the topic of the two rare composers I named, actually had a pretty big influence on my decision to join band in sixth grade, because my twin brother and I were both, we loved the Donkey Kong Country games, and, part of it was that the music just really, you know, we really liked it, and, we wanted to join band when we could so that we can learn to play those songs. And
you learned that band plays boring songs.
Well, yes, but when I could, I would print out the sheet music of whatever song I could find and learn it. And yeah, it was mainly video game songs that I printed out and taught myself.
Yep.
And yeah. And I didn't really print out any Final Fantasy music, I don't think.
Monster.
Because, well, I didn't play as much Final Fantasy back then as I, except for Mystic Quest, which
that game probably had bomb music. I never played it.
It had some of my favorite music, but
yeah, I heard
the
game
itself.
Good,
the game itself, the game itself was made for like 5-year-olds and people with a poor sense of humor.
It's the American Final Fantasy.
But if it wasn't for the music, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it that much. I mean, I was able to get through it, but ever since hearing the music, it's been in my mind. And, And obviously, some of the Koji Kondo songs I taught myself.
But, I was going to try to prod the conversation into a certain thing. Like how Western and versus Japanese, it's like Japanese songs tend to be more theme based.
Yeah.
Like Western ones are generally more, I would say, atmosphere. Like, what would the term be? No.
Japanese games tend to, there's like, you know, the battle theme or whatever. There's the character themes and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
with Western, it's ambient, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But, okay, but Donkey Kong Country, there is some exceptions, though. It's like the ones, like Donkey Kong, which I'm made by American people, right? Right? Okay.
British people.
British people. Americanish
same
people.
Thing, really.
Get it right.
Yeah.
English people.
But that is one of the exceptions. But I mean, like, nowadays, it's like you'll listen to something like Mass Effect, and it's definitely, like, much more ambient. Like, yeah. Okay, I would say
Commander Shepard doesn't have a theme song.
Actually, 3's a little more themey, right, Marshall?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they're songs specifically crafted for scenes, so I guess you could say, you know, there's like the Tuchanka whatever theme or whatever at the very end of that, where it's so sort of supposed to be Morden oriented and stuff. Whereas whenever you're talking Jack Wall's stuff from the previous games, it's, you know, honestly, while it is designed to sort of suit the narrative arc or the action arc going on in the situation, you could probably switch them around and it wouldn't make that much of a difference because it's just sort of meant to be kind of ambient.
Alright.
Ambient.
But any other composers? Like since we are listening to our favorite composers, who wants to go? Shoot off.
Harry Gregson William.
Mm-hmm. Harry Gregson William. Metal Gear of fame,
yes.
Right?
Correct. That Metal Gear theme, the one that they're not allowed to use anymore because it was so similar to that Russian Spiritov or whatever it was.
Aww.
Yeah. That song was so good. It's so it like the instrument, you know, usage and stuff like that that went into the song was so good. It had the same sort of like forceful melancholy that the series kind of does, you know, whenever it's being serious, not when it's like, look at Eva's boobs or you know, I know where Meryl is because I look at all these guards' butts to see which one's her and stuff
yep.
like that.
Oh,
and I love how that was in the PS1 era, where they, you know, all the butts are on Dragon anyway. Metal Gear.
Yep.
But music, the music is pretty dang good. Like, I still like to listen to, at least Metal Gear Solid 3. It's like, not just the Snake Eater theme, like, I like a lot of the themes.
Yeah, oh, a lot of the music in Metal Gear as a series is really good, and especially on Metal Gear Solid 3 and 4. You know, they bring the heat in that.
Yep. I do like the theme song from the second one.
Yeah.
That was the one that that kind of touched me whenever I heard it the first time.
Yeah.
And
why?
But that's the only example you had, Marshall. Or do you
off the top
it?
Of my head, I mean Jack Wall, Clint Mansell from Mass Effect 3. He did a really good job of that.
What was the Journey composer's name? The one who got nominated for a Grammy?
Austin Venturi. Venturi?
Something.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Whatever his name. But yeah, the Journey stuff is really good. Like, it does earn its reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music in Journey is a lot like the game itself, where, you know, it's fairly understated, but
it's an experience.
A lot of times when I was listening to it, you know, I'm not really paying attention. I have it playing in the background, you know, independent of playing the game, listening to it on YouTube or something like that. And I'll be doing something else, and then I'll realize that I was listening to it, and my heart will be pounding in my chest unintentionally. Like, I'm not pumped up or anything. It's just something that sort of subtly does that to you.
That might not be healthy or related to
music. Yeah, it might not be healthy. I do recall at the time I was eating just a bunch of chicken, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess a lot of the time music does get missed or you just don't pay attention to it.
What about you, Cord? Do you have any examples, specific ones?
The Minecraft composer?
Come on, be honest. Draw one composer name.
You guys already talked about everything.
Didn't
we? The background and
we have there are probably like 200 other composers.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta like somebody specifically for some reason.
Yeah, the music in Minecraft is not too shabby. But I mean, still, the vault sound is mental. It kind of overshadows it. I'm sorry, but the particle accelerator antimatter creation sound, just, you know, walking around your base, it's ridiculous.
Greatest song ever.
Yeah, but
So, Enanzer, is that what you're going to go with? Because I agree.
Whatever gets us out of this quicker.
Korn doesn't know any music.
Enanzer.
I only listen to Kiwi bands.
Mutes every game he plays.
But yeah, Enanzer is also pretty good. The guy who did the Fallout music, Fallout 3.
Oh yeah, Fallout.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was good music.
Yeah.
And Bioshock music's pretty good.
I don't notice Infamous music too much.
I remember the loading screen thing.
I don't know, some of it's original, some of it's just old-timey music.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, throwback, like, tracks.
Yeah, you can't really give a particular composer credit, but...
Oh, I mean, Gary Scheinman was the composer for Bioshock 1 as well as Infinite, so... You could give him You could give him credit. That would be a nice thing to do.
The credit that's due to him. Yeah. But...
Yeah, whatever.
But there's also all those other ones that died at some point.
Oh, okay. Yep. So that's where we're going with this.
Some composers have died in the past.
Realistic.
No, they're still alive after over 100 years, probably.
Yeah.
However old their music is.
All right. I think we got that. I think we did it. Good job, everyone.
Yes. Dead composers.
Video game music. Covered.
Covered. Well, do you have anything to say about, like, how video game music has influenced you? I know I mentioned that it was one of the main reasons I joined band in sixth grade, but what about you guys? Do you have any influences?
Nope. I've never been influenced by anything ever.
I definitely picked up stuff like the piano, just because I like some video game music. I was like, you know, it would be pretty awesome if I could play this.
Yeah.
And I did for a certain amount of time, like for several years, like practice like video game music and like other music as well, but it's kind of like I would mainly focus on video game music, and people like, oh my god, that's great, it's classical stuff. It's like, what's that from? It's like, video game.
Oh.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry. That was a really good song until you said video game.
I don't like it anymore then.
Not so much for me. I don't have any talent.
I know, right?
Musical Brothers. Talent is what I meant, but it's true in general. I have no talent in music, so... Yeah,
you create your talent. And I work at it. Got like writing, you know. Mr. Writing Nazi.
No, see, writing... The thing about writing... Or the thing about talent in general is it's sort of like having base stats on something, and you can foster that with skill, you know, with practice and stuff like that, but...
If you don't pick the right class, you're f***.
Yeah, I didn't pick the right class when I was first rolling my character, so I have no talent when it comes to music, so I'm working at a deficit there.
I see.
But, I mean, you know, I could practice at it and get better. I did play keyboard in school briefly, but that didn't pan out. But no, video games haven't really benefited me in any way musically. I mean, there are a lot of songs that I like from video games, but yeah, no, it hasn't inspired me to do anything.
Yeah, have you decided to be like a music critic?
Yeah, if you have no talent in something, you should become a critic in it.
Yep, it works.
Yep.
Words to live by.
Yep.
Alright, well.
Alright, good job.
I mean, I know Captain said it's peace earlier.
Yes, I did. So I will not repeat that.
Okay.
And since this is going on pretty long, let's go ahead and move on to our questions. Starting with someone you may know, Jason, our editor-in-chief.
No idea who that is.
Our God King Jason.
Lord God King Jason.
Our Handbells. I don't know any God King.
Yeah. He has a big central topic for his questions, starting with... If it turns out that Wii U's third-party support becomes non-existent due to sluggish sales and or because publishers are more excited about PS4 and 720, Will that impact whether you ultimately buy one or not?
Yes.
Because
they won't have games. Lot of games.
Well, Nintendo doesn't normally rely on third party, as is evident by recent generations, in which they have not that many third party games.
Sure.
You know, they usually ride on their own or second party.
Yeah.
You know.
There's all kinds of weird, confusing jargon for Nintendo. They got like 20 billion second party, third party people.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell what's third party and what's second party.
But Mario Party?
Exactly.
Yes.
But for me personally, I think I'm almost guaranteed to get a Wii U, regardless of how much crap I give them. Just because they've got games that I really want to play, like Bayonetta 2, the Zeno thing, and they've even like announced or implied the announcement of the whatever Miss Walker's making. I don't know if it'll be great or not, but I would like to imagine it's at least higher quality or better, same quality of Last Story or something.
Sure. And at least in the case of Bayonetta 2, it's the third party is not going to become non-existent, since, you know, without Nintendo, Bayonetta 2 doesn't exist.
Yep.
So if they keep that kind of stuff up, if they publish these things that otherwise, like if they took maybe Shenmue 3 because no one else wants it or something, like, if the only way it exists is to be on this console, then...
And you'll take it.
You
know, and I also don't care about... What are you going to say, Marshall?
Granted, that's fairly optimistic to think that Shenmue 3 would be going on to the Wii U.
Yes.
I don't know.
Or anything in general.
Maybe we'll get a forklift simulator at best. But, I don't know. And also, I do care about the Fire Emblem X Shin Megami Tensei. I don't... I mean, earlier I gave it a lot of crap, and I was like, you know, I really like both of those series. It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, even if it sucks, then, you know, gotta give them at least the support.
Yeah, like just make these things. It's like, I like seeing these names. I pay money for these names.
Put them together, what do you got?
But yeah, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I'll, like, I really doubt I'll get a Wii, like, anytime soon. I really think I'll let it drop for quite a while, but I do think I'm guaranteed to buy one at some point, like, regardless of if it looks bleak in the future, which it does.
Yeah. Well, Nintendo does have a weird superpower of doing, even when it's doing terribly, at some point it'll just randomly turn everything around and everyone will love them again.
Mario.
Hey guys, here's a game.
Mario Universe.
Oh. Let's buy it now.
Yep. Well, I'm going to have to go.
We're tired of New Super Mario Bros. Those games suck. It's like, a new 3D Mario. It's like, all right. you got me, Nintendo.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was going to happen, but you surprised me.
Just throw out a new Zelda.
Yep.
That's all I really have to do, is just throw out some first-party games and people will buy it. That's how they survive.
It is.
Mainly.
I mean, I'm not that interested in the third-party stuff, because that's not really where Nintendo's bread and butter is anyway, but... Yeah. Thing is, I more heavily rely on my PC and my PS3 in order to play most games that I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm ever going to get a Wii U, but I mean there may come a point where they put something on there and a, you know, must buy game or something, and I might do it. I don't think that it's necessarily going to be reliant on third parties or anything though. Like
unless they surprise you with something that you absolutely must have.
Nintendo surprising people? Get out of here.
Well, not Nintendo, a third-party developer. Just saying, hey, I'm going to make this exclusive to this. And...
Yeah, they already surprised people, and people committed suicide already for Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know Pokemon XD and the Gale of Darkness or whatever, Pokemon Colosseum and Gale of Darkness, I know those two sucked, but if they were to announce, a full 3D console Pokemon game, then I'd be there day one.
Stadium 3.
I'm sure a lot of people would be.
Yeah, I would be completely unashamed of it too. Like, even if it were like, you know, like a sequel to those games.
Pokemon's where it's at.
If they were like, hey guys, guess what? This game's going to suck, we're not putting any people on this, you know. We're intentionally making this bad. I'd be like, ah, damn it, Nintendo. You make me so bad for being in this line right now.
You make me very disappointed myself for paying this much for a Pokemon game. Yeah. For a lesser grade Pokemon game at that. But
it's just a remake of the of like Red and Blue.
Yeah.
Not even any upgrade or anything, just
it's just a port, except it's on Wii U.
It's like a Game Boy Color port. It's like kind of reddish on the screen.
Yeah.
But super pixelated because it's so big.
Yeah.
But what about Korn? I didn't hear Korn's opinion. Does he care? Does he hate?
I don't think he has an opinion.
He's got to have
games. That's his answer.
If there's enough games, I won't. I'll pick it up, but not. That might be a while.
Just like every console.
Yeah.
There's
games you want.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's killing the Vita, and the thing that really helped with the 3DS, is even if you don't have a solid library, at least having a reliable promise of having games on there is going to help. So.
Yeah.
There doesn't look
so
like
lying to consumers is awesome.
Yeah. There's not necessarily any solid promise of anything super good on there until they start talking about a Zelda or something.
Yeah.
So
like they like E3 comes and they show all these games and like, oh, that is happening. So
yeah.
You know, it's not just an empty like, oh, we'll make this like 5 years from now.
Maybe we feel like it.
maybe it'll be delayed for 2 more years. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then they show something. It's like, oh, we're scrapping this.
Yeah.
It'd be really funny if it'd be really funny if this E3 wasn't as exciting as people really think it's gonna be.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
But what are you gonna say, Marshall?
Video games are dead.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Video games are dead.
Video games are dead.
No, but next question, I suppose. I mean,
sure.
Unless Marsh or Captain wants to say if he cares or not about the Wii U.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Well,
what are your opinions on this Nintendo product?
Well, I'm gonna get everything when I see games. I don't. Obviously, I don't have one yet. But knowing that there will be games that, you know. I know you guys troll me all the time, but there are Nintendo games I like, and I will buy it for those. Or if they throw out some third-party titles that I didn't know about that I really want, then that too. Obviously, games will sell that console to me.
Well,
yeah.
And
I mean, do you feel that there's at least some form of I guess salient promise currently? Do you feel like you could buy one right now and feel reasonably assured that you'd be getting games for it?
Well, there's not a whole lot right now that I want. So, like a lot of other people at the moment, if I bought one, I'd probably have it sitting there and
updating for about 2 years.
Probably be playing my 3DS more than that because of how many games it has that I still need to play.
Yeah.
So that's definitely not a confidence thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You proved Marshall's thing. It's like, do you feel confident it's gonna have games in the long run? And you're like, I'm not really feeling it right now. That's what you're implying.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I do know it's gonna have games I will enjoy in the future, but as far as games at the moment, the library isn't as exciting to me as, you know,
3DS. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
or hopefully the PS3.
Hmm? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that thing.
The PS4 and the next box, which.
Oh, next question.
Which yeah.
Segway.
Brilliantly goes into Jason's next question. What price do PS4 and the next box have to be in order for you to consider buying it within the first 6 months, or will you do so regardless?
$2.
$200.
500.
But I don't know.
It's not for me. If I have the money and it, if I have the money, what? If I have,
keep going.
Oh my god. If If I have the money and it has the games, then I'll probably get one. It really, if I can afford it, then games is all that games are all that I care about. But I'm not sure if I will have the money. I don't know. I can't predict what I will be getting in the future in terms of cash. Judging by its specs, they're both probably going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
The thing
with those consoles, insofar as price goes, is it's kind of interesting to me how people will pay, you know, for my PC, I paid something around like $1,200 or something, considering all the parts and stuff that went into it. And chances are, within the next 5 years, I'm going to be replacing something in it. Versus with a console, you're going to have that for probably more than 5 years, and it costs less than that. And yet people are like, oh, if it costs $600 or if it costs $700 or something like that, that's just unreasonable. Despite the fact that you're definitely going to be getting more longevity out of it, assuming that you know, use it.
Yeah, if it works. You know, it's something that Microsoft didn't, you know, accelerate.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's a certain degree. I mean, I understand it. I understand that insofar as a gaming console goes, that's entertainment. That's entirely an entertainment budget, whereas I do use my computer for other things.
Yeah.
But, that's fairly steep. For that, but I'm not too worked up about prices insofar as that goes. I mean, I'm not rich or anything, so I'd rather it not cost $600 or $700 because that will restrict how quickly I can get it. But
yeah,
again, same with the Wii U. You know, if I can see a reliable or a solid promise that they're going to be bringing Pokemon to the PS4. No, if I can see a solid promise that they're going to be bringing some games that I actually want. And, you know, when they announced it, they showed off some things. Nothing that I particularly want, you know, for me personally, but that definitely has an audience. So, yeah, we'll see.
Those consoles are going to be f***ing amazing if I buy them in the first 6 months.
Yeah, of course. They won't consider, you know, upgrading the model or anything. But I think that this whole generation has kind of burned people, like, on the whole, you know, improved enhanced models. It's like, this gen especially was, like, very much, like, if you have a working 360, like, nowadays, you are, like, probably the luckiest person on Earth, like, from a launch.
Yeah.
And if you weren't forced to upgrade, you know, the PSC hard drive, same thing. But, what I'm trying to get at is, this is probably why it goes into whole Marshall's argument where people are skeptical because they don't, you know, have faith in the hardware and probably the games as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me personally, I hate buying consoles. Like, I don't like it. Like, I can find games to play on other systems and keep playing them. Like, I was playing freaking PS2 like 3 years into the PS3 and 360. And I did not care.
Yeah. Being a PSP fan, I'm sure that the you have a Vita, so
yeah.
What persuaded you on that?
Insanity.
Insanity definitely persuaded me. No, but I don't know. I've played a lot of games on my Vita. Believe it or not, Marshall, it's hard to believe, but I played more than Persona 4 Golden on my Vita.
Yeah, you were talking about Sound Shapes earlier.
That game's alright.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, more obscure titles. Like, it's like, I was looking for DG Max.
You playing like, obscure titles?
Yeah, what? what was I thinking? No. But, I don't know. There's a lot of downloadables, and as well, like, you want me to start listing names?
I mean, if you want, but no, that's not important.
Anyway, we are tracking off. I was going to say, I don't like buying new systems. It's pretty unlikely I would even consider buying it in the first 6 months. It almost doesn't matter if, like, there's a reasonable price, because I just wouldn't care about the games or what they would have. Like, I always see that, like, the best games in a console's life usually come near the end. It's like, Persona 4 was a hell of a lot better than Dark Sector.
Yeah.
And people were forced to, you know, play that early in, and it's like, yeah, all right, have fun. And I'm not convinced that the PS4 and 360 would have the games that not only would I be anxious for, but I would be willing to buy the system so quickly.
Yeah.
That said, they could make a pretty damn good argument if they had something like Persona 5.
Yes. Yeah.
At launch. Let's just pretend it's at launch as good as it can be, or intended to be.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd always be nice.
Yeah. I don't see them doing that.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty dope if they did.
Oh, well, Jason asks, on the same token, what games need to be announced for you to want to buy one as soon as possible?
Fresh
and you're talking about Persona 5.
Yeah, Persona 5 would be one. Thing is, I'm under the impression, or rather, they stated for the Metal Gear Solid 5 that that's going to be on PS3, so... You know. Yeah,
that's a lot of...
Phantom Pain, like, people believe it's going to be on PS4, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing that with a lot of them. They're just... They have them as launch titles, but they're also PS3 and 360 titles.
Yeah, which I don't see that being a great idea.
Kind of kills the argument. Like, okay, well,
these launch titles.
Should I?
You don't need to play the console to play.
$600-$700 for this new console, or should I just buy the game?
That said, I'm pretty sure that Force Unleashed did a lot better for PS3 than it did on PS2.
Well, the thing is that that kind of applied for last gen in general as well. It's like stuff like Gun had like PS2 release and. I think 360 as well.
Yeah.
And people bought more of those on the newer consoles.
Yeah. It makes sense, I guess, because they want to justify their purchase. They're like, well, I want to buy a PS3, or I guess in this case, I want to buy a PS4, but there's nothing that I really have that isn't. So this game that is on both consoles, I may as well buy it.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I really can't think of stuff that, like, I'm almost positive I won't buy the next 360 thing. I kind of have a vendetta against Microsoft in general. Like, I don't like them in the console space.
Yeah.
I don't really like the games they have.
And they don't, and they don't really have that many. It's a bunch of multi-platform titles, and, they have Halo, Gears of War, but...
You don't love Halo?
Else? I enjoyed the first two, but I haven't played past that.
Yeah, you got the same experience.
Yeah. Just go on Wikipedia, read the plot.
I don't know. It's really difficult for me to imagine that there is like a game that they could announce for the next generation consoles where I'd be like, "Yep, I'm there. I got to do that." Because I mean, I've already got really the only series that could get me to move like that would be something like Metal Gear, or you know, Persona 5, but also. At this point, after having played 3 and 4 somewhat recently, you know, I've got that in my blood now, so.
Yeah, that was definitely the, like, feel for me, like, on the PS3. It's like I saw, like, Metal Gear 4 or Valkyrie Chronicles. I was like, man, I really want to play those.
Yeah, that is a good example. If they're to say, hey, guess what? We're bringing Valkyria Chronicles 4 or something onto the PS4. I'm like, there, you know, you got me.
You got me, secretly. Or at the very least, I'll buy the game. I'm like, at the very least, you can't blame me for not supporting you guys.
here's an HD collection remake or whatever of 2 and 3 that we're going to actually bring to America.
I'd buy it.
Yep.
I mean, 3's pretty good. I'd play that game again.
Yeah. I'd go for that. Metal Gear, I think... I've already got Metal Gear planned for PS3 though, so I don't really care about the new
game. I don't know. After 4, I just don't care about Metal Gear. Like, it's like I don't care where the series is. It's like I really enjoyed some of the games I played. It's like I think Rising super bomb. I mean, I was gonna say, and I like Peace Walker as well, which is also like Kojima built it up as. He's like, it's a real Metal Gear, just not a name.
Like, the if Metal Gear Solid 5 is, as I interpreted the trailer, to be more about Big Boss's brain space as he's going into being Big Boss and as he's going into that, then yeah, no, I'm completely down with that. There's not enough games, I don't think, that really deal with consequences of your actions that much. Like, there's Mass Effect or whatever, but the idea is that you're supposed to be enjoying a game, therefore all your consequences should favor you in some way, and so Mass Effect doesn't really have that much oomph behind it insofar as the impact of its choices, nor do most
games. Oh no, you killed the council. No, it's okay, this is about the council.
Kind of reminds me of how they took the whole consequence thing from the BioShock series with Infinite, and they have choices, but you can choose the bad one and still get the only ending it has.
Yeah.
And that does play into the narrative as well. Like, that is, they intentionally, like, structure it so it's like, you have choice, but not really have choice.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really say much more.
It's an illusion.
Yeah. I would much prefer, if a game were to, you know, if it were to basically punish you for, like, genuinely punish you, or, you know, they could do it in a good mechanical way, where, say, like, you know, you're playing a person who has to kill someone in a game, you kill that character, and now your character has, and then your Xbox shuts off. No, you, at Red Rings, you've made the choice to kill a character or whatever, so now throughout the game, that character, or that, even if it's an NPC or something, even if it's a irrelevant character for the story, you know, your character has killed someone, so now they're more want to make decisions to kill someone in a cutscene or something like that, whereas if you did not kill that person, then they'd be more likely to just say, hey guys, let's not do this anymore. Let's be friends now. Not to say that Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to do that, but it'd be nice to see more, like, psychological appreciation or something in games.
Yeah, it's always nice when they do that.
Yep.
So, hey, why not? Come on.
Yeah, choice.
Choice.
I think we're on a topic somewhere along the line.
Just looking at sort of. We're talking about Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yep.
But that's kind of... yeah. Well, anything else to say on the Zop question?
I kind of want to see new IPs, next generation.
Yeah, that'll be nice. New IPs.
He's a real kidder.
What?
I'm just... Never mind. Oh.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry, Beryl. I got your joke and I liked it.
Yeah. I hate this podcast.
I agree.
All right, let's get to floating on.
Alright.
I'll float on again.
And thing is,
float on to where? New Zealand?
No.
Are we doing New Zealand Corner?
Yeah.
You know,
sure,
I should have planned
sure.
this, and then I didn't actually plan it.
Yeah, I basically told him he shouldn't. So.
Yes, I didn't. Anyone got any questions?
Not worth it.
How are you able to play Minecraft without connection?
I don't know. It actually works quite well. A little lag here and there.
0.1 gigabyte of RAM.
Anyway,
I wish they had a measurement for that, where you could, you know, measure something as 0.1 gigabytes. If only there was the name for that. That'd be really cool.
I know, it's just a shame they went straight to gigabytes instead of, you know, having ones below it first.
Yep.
What a silly measurement system. But...
And you guys measure things in feet, so what the f*** do you guys know?
Yeah, that's true.
But that's it. That's New Zealand Quarter.
New Zealand, so interesting this week.
Oh,
the Christchurch Cathedral is getting a new design. Anyway,
it's getting a new design finally.
Well, I'm not sure if you know this, but cathedrals and earthquakes don't go well together.
Don't they though? I mean, look at those Greek temples and stuff like that. They've withstood the test of time for quite some time.
Well, apparently we're not really as good as building.
Yeah.
Anyway, our cathedral is kind of messed. So we've decided to redesign it, and there's just...
What are you... Are you, like, part of the council or something?
Yes.
You and some other people. We've decided...
Me and Parker, we're tight. Anyway, they it looks kind of cool. I mean, this isn't like official or anything. It's just kind of like, yo, what is this? Does this look cool? And everyone's like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, that sounds like New Zealanders.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay, I guess we'll do it. Sure, why not?
It looks interesting. It's modern, I guess, for whatever that means.
Okay.
Yeah. In the context of New Zealand, I wonder, what is modern by their standards?
A lot of glass and curved shapes, apparently.
I see.
Yeah.
But that's it. Cathedral got destroyed.
Yeah. It's getting rebuilt.
Okay. Do you know any New Zealand video game developers, Gord?
We did this in the first episode.
I know.
And the second episode, because nobody remembered.
Yep.
Okay.
It was a few.
Actually, sure. I don't think you ever answered, like, what's the arcade scene there, though?
Not very good.
It died out with the rest of the world, then?
Yep. Except Japan.
Yeah, except Japan. Japan's arcade. See, I mean, first off, everyone always complains about DRM or whatever. Or not DRM, the DLC and stuff like that, nickel and diming people, but, you know, how many quarters did you put in the arcade? But aside from that, that's one thing that I do kind of, I feel bad that arcades have sort of died out here in the West, because, like, that, it's nice that the idea of actually having a social outing that you can do that is also related to video games, instead of just, you know, Farrell and I wanted to play Ragnarok Odyssey Barrel, we should play that, and or whatever, then it'd just be like us sitting here at home or whatever, not both of us sitting here at home, us sitting in our respective homes.
And maybe talk on Skype, probably not.
Yeah.
I've never had that experience of like, okay, arcade. School's out, let's go walk over to the arcade and spend like 2 hours there.
Oh man, more than 2 hours.
Depending on your budget, I guess. Arcade.
You need to go back in time about 15 years and go move and live near Funbies here, because that's basically what people do.
Yeah.
Dead, I guess.
My mom actually used to work in an arcade, and she used to play Galaga, like, all the time.
Yeah.
It's the only game I think she's ever played. But hey, she was, like, a pro at it, apparently.
Yeah. So at least you come by it honestly. I mean, not that that's a Nintendo game or anything, but...
Jordan.
Now I don't even know what you're talking about.
None of us do.
You know Nintendo? It's a Japanese company.
He's trying to troll me, and he's coming off a little confusing.
You know, Nintendo. I'm sure you've heard of them, Nintendo. They made, like, Mario? The NES?
Do they make the PlayStation?
Was that a TV show?
They made... Oh, you must know the Virtual Boy.
Virtual.
Is that the one that broke my neck?
No.
No?
Did he do that song,
Superman? Yeah, that was him.
Virtual Boy. Yeah, that's pretty good music, that one.
Yeah.
Alright. And that's the arcade scene.
Yep, we did it.
New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand. Did not go... as New Zealand-y as planned, but...
Oh. Yeah, whatever.
It happened. It was a thing.
New Zealand things.
New Zealand things. That's all you need to know.
And one word of profanity to Junkie.
Yeah.
No.
No, you're not going to curse? All right.
He's had it tough this week.
Well, oh, all right.
Total f*** up.
This... Oh. This is going to be a fun editing job yet again.
It depends on how much you care about New Zealand Corner, because I don't know how much Corn cares about it.
It's not just New Zealand Corner, come on.
I mean, there is that Dutch chick, you know, hating of us, our culture or whatever, but that's not important.
Dutch chick?
Sure.
She's slightly important, but I don't really give a sh**.
I mean, is it Lucy Lawless?
No.
Huh.
Of course not.
I don't know, I wasn't really paying attention.
Oh, sweet corn.
Do ya ever.
You silly Billy gumdrops.
Thanks.
New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand?
Nope.
We did it.
Okay.
That's it? That's it? New Zealand?
I guess. For
Cathedral and stuff?
Yeah. New Zealand. One day we won't suck. Well, I mean, we have the whole getting people off the beneficiary and everything. That's kind of neat. Apparently, there are jobs out there. Who knew?
What? Jobs?
Jobs?
I know.
Well, clearly, it's so foreign to us.
I've been looking for a New Zealand job.
As well.
I've been wondering. Where do I apply for to jobs?
The job.
I wouldn't
just
know.
Fill out an application and let them sort it out.
Mail it to John Key, he'll sort you out.
Okay.
Just say you're from America. Do whatever you ask.
Just please. Okay, we did it, everyone.
Yeah, you want to...
New Zealand is New Zealand.
Sometimes. Goodbye.
On that note, we have nothing left to talk about, so...
We'll see you next week.
See you next week, yes.
I'll miss you.
Bye.
I love you, bye.
I won't.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Good riddance.
Yeah.